Tonight, we're going to be looking at a church, one of the seven in Revelation, Thyatira. And as we look at it, you're going to see a lot of statements, read a whole lot about it, focusing on what is going on today in our local churches. Before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the time to unite together, to study your word, to enjoy fellowship one with another. Father, we truly do ask for your blessing this night. Touch each of us as we study, that we might take what we learn from your word throughout the world. Give us guidance and direction. Father, we do truly ask a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Turkish language, White Castle. So I thought that was apropos. Thyatira. You know, I'm Kentucky, and it's just hard for me. Just like the Hebrew, you know, when you talk like that, that was hard on me. And Thyatira is also. So pardon me for my Kentucky dialect. Thyatira is now represented by the modern town of Akhisar, Turkish for White Castle. Here's what Jesus said to a tolerant church. Now, tolerant, what Mitch was talking about a few moments ago before we went on the air, tolerant. Thyatira was completely tolerant, but what they were doing is allowing anything into the church. Remember, after the church was established and right after Pentecost, problems arose in the first churches ever established. They started having splits. So that's how we know they were all Baptist churches. Everybody was splitting all over the place. Why? Because you got to remember that the first churches, Christian churches, had to be accepting in either Hebrews or Jewish or idolaters. That's all there were out there. So a lot of the idolaters come into the church, and including a few of the Jewish Judaizer type of folks, coming in to the church and starting different doctrines. Apostle Paul popping back and forth in and out of churches. He at one time on one of his missionary trips was in the town of Thyatira. Now, whether he stopped there or not, I can't imagine him being there and not stopping in. But he was having trouble with all of them. Now, in the book of Revelation, remember, it is not revelations, plural, it is revelation. It is not the revelation of John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ through John the Beloved, as God is touching his heart. Here's what Jesus says to a tolerant church. The eyes of fire and feet of brass come to see and to judge, but this wicked church will not repent. The church had works, service, and patience, but it was filled with sin. Here we have Jezebel, the only woman mentioned in the seven letters, referring to wicked Queen Jezebel, wife of Ahab. She was a heathen woman, daughter of a priest of Baal, which is an idol, and she promoted Baal worship in Israel. She was guilty of whoredom and witchcraft, as well as idolatry, murder, deceit, and priestcraft, pretending that she sent from God. And no, priestcraft is not a word that you're going to find. I thought it sounded good. Priestcraft, you know, witchcraft and all of that. But priestcraft, well, she was pretending to be a priest and she wasn't. That sound right to you, Brother Randy?
Sure.
And the church at Thyatira was following her example and her leadership. See, that's the danger, folks. When you're tolerant. Now, people say, well, if you're not tolerant, you're mean. No, you're not. You don't have to be mean. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, you nor I, nobody has a right to tolerate false doctrine in the church. Now, if people want to go somewhere else, gosh, folks, I've dealt with all sorts of cults over the year. I'll be glad to point out one where they may fit in. But you can't bring that into God's house. Note that this false prophetess in the church was using false teaching to seduce or deceive God's people. She gave them license to sin. That's in 2 Peter 2 and Jude. The tragedy is that she would not repent. Now listen to this. Even though that God gave her the opportunity, if you read scripture, you'll find that time after time, God gave her opportunity to repent. She refused to. It is never too late for a church to repent and return to the Lord. But we must beware lest we miss our God-given opportunities. Now, let's look at it. Again, be careful, folks, in our day and age, because people will say that, well, because you're a Christian, you're intolerant of other different beliefs. No, I'm intolerant of other beliefs being taught in the Christian church. There's some things you must not tolerate, and that is false doctrine for us. Main thing killing the churches today, false doctrine. Notice every cult that if you've ever studied them or looked at, each and every cult in our society in times past and in today's society, they start with just a little bit of the Bible. They got just a few quotes from Scripture, and then they rewrite it from there. They continue to go, and they will always throw in just a little bit of the real, and then throw in right after that a whole lot of the unreal and the lie. Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29. To the angel is the pastor. See? I told you all just because I was a Marine didn't make me bad. Pastors are angels. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I told you that in the sign-in. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Don't forget about the judgment. When man stands before the judgment of God, or the great white throne judgment of God, you're not going to be there as Christian, meaning you're not going to be judged there. Whether we see it or not, I don't know. But when they're there, their own words will convict them. Their sin itself will have already convicted them. When people say, well, would God throw anyone to hell? It is not God who cast them to hell. It is the individuals who have chosen the ways of the world against God's ways and their own words. I do know this, quite sure. God is not going to have to tap into the NSA recordings of your conversations. He's going to have his own. You got it? He's going to have his own. Now, as you're thinking about that, just remember, the judgment will be from your own mouth. Yes, ma'am.
Just to go back just a couple of steps, you were talking about false doctrine.
Yes.
Now, that is when someone says there are other ways to heaven besides through Jesus.
Well, that is a major false doctrine. Yes. Many false doctrines, you'll have a lot of folk that say, I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, but I do not believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I do not believe in the virgin birth. Now, whether they believe or don't believe in it, that in itself, though, is not going to condemn them, because they may grow and study to know it. But I, or as a pastor, as the shepherd, must never allow them to teach that within the church. They come within the church, they can study, they can learn, but they cannot be in a leadership role within the church. That's what my pastor's class is. This is what we believe, this is why we believe it. Therefore, if folk want to come in knowing what our church believes, what we stand for, and why I use different translations and all of this, then that's what they learn in that class to choose. But many other false doctrines are there also. That's the main one, saying that there's another way other than Jesus. But many false doctrines, and it can happen by people using a part of what God says and shutting it down, that, you know, the parts they don't like, they'll leave it out. That's teaching false doctrine.
So that doesn't have anything to do with difference in people's difference in interpreting the scripture?
Not in true interpretation, meaning, and I can tell you this, when people are sincere in their study and they mess up, and I warn Mitch all the time, be careful and make sure you listen well as you're building those sermons now, early in life, before you ever let it go on a CD. Or ever let somebody else get a hold of it, because you can make mistakes in the process, and people will use that against you later. I know you all can't believe that that would ever happen, but it does quite often. So I guess today the main problem that we're having on false doctrine, it's done this way. The false doctrine comes in when we will say, okay, I know this is what the Lord says, this is how the church ought to be, but in order for us to accept these others or to get them to come, we're just going to sort of turn our eyes on them bringing it in. That's allowing false doctrine. During the first century church, that's all they were getting. That's all Paul dealt with, was false doctrine. Everybody wanted to get just a little bit of their idol, get a few words put into the church. You know, and they would say, well, you know, it's only, you know, a little thing. He's a little statue, you know, that we can bring in. And Paul was going through. Well, remember when he'd go, especially Corinth? Well, Corinth is where the prostitutes went to the altar call and propositioned the men as they came forward to pray. And here, Jezebel, what do you think Jezebel's doing up here, you know, and her followers? And that was going on. And it necessarily doesn't mean that it's ceased today in some areas. So there's a lot of different ways of allowing false prophecies to come in. Don't forget, though, when you've accepted Christ, you will know whether it is of God or not when somebody starts feeding you. Those red flags inside of you just start flying. That's the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask a question just for personal knowledge, because I'd like to completely understand the Word of God in truth. There are some churches that I have went to that say that women are deacons. I would like some insight to understand why they're saying that and if it's true or not true that a woman can be a deacon or not a deacon.
Yeah. Well, that's a different study than this one, but I can tell you this. One of the interesting things I find in Scripture is dealing with the end times, in the last days, is that the focus on that your older men will dream dreams. Your younger men will see visions during the end of the time era. And your young women will prophesy. Now, you have different denominations. And now in the Baptist denomination, I don't know. We don't. You have three areas to go from the Baptist now. They went to deacons, elders, which I never dreamed would happen, but the elders, and then ministry team concept. Those are the three leading ways in the Southern Baptist that today. Our church is ministry team because we don't have any fusses and fights in this church. I love ministry teams. Don't we, Miss Estelle? We like, yep, she's shaking her head. She's eating. So each different denomination, again, I allow God to deal with those individuals or with each church. We don't have it in this church. You go back to the scripture, suffer not a woman to preach. That's my old English on that. Then I back that up with what? In the latter days, they will prophesy. So again, I tell you what, if it's of God, it will stand. If it's not of God, it won't. That's just the way it works. If it is of God, it will stand. If it's not of God, it won't. I can tell you this, if it weren't for the women in this church would be a mess. Now I said to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings. Now, picture this. Not everybody in the church was thinking her way. You got it? Not everybody was falling for what she was teaching. Jesus is saying, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. And that's what her teaching was. When you do your studies on Jezebel, you find out that she had convinced everyone that she had a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is. Some of my Calvinist friends, as you know, let me know that I just don't have the intellect to understand Calvinism for what it really is. And you know what? I'm sort of proud of being from Kentucky and not being that smart, if that's what it amounts to. But Satan's so-called deep secrets, that's what she told the men. And that's what she told when she had the prostitution rings going at the church. Well, I have a deeper knowledge. And, of course, all the men saying, yep, she must be. She's as smart as she can be. I'll follow her. So I don't know how many of the wives followed. Only hold on to what you have until I come. He's talking to the people who know him. He's talking to the true church. Not every member of a church is a Christian. And sadly, I have found in my years that not every preacher in a pulpit has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. It's just fact. For what Jesus is saying to the church, for those of you who've got it, who understand, hold on to what you have, because what I have given you through the power of the Holy Spirit is what will last, and I will place no greater burden on you. There can be nothing greater. Jezebel would tell them, this is what you have to do to please God. And Jesus, his gospel says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be served, will be saved. So, only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star at Jesus. He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, that didn't mean a whole bunch of people in there didn't have ears. What it does mean, though, is a lot of people would have been there that did not have an ear for Christ. See, it is the spiritual ears that a lot of people will close. It is not spiritually accepting Christ, not reading the Word in the Spirit or allowing the Holy Spirit to do the explanation for you when you're reading God's Word. If you read the Bible, and you read the Bible without direction of the Holy Spirit as you're reading, you have read a good book. It's a great book. But you missed the power. You must read the Word of God by the power of God. That is, read prayerfully. Lord, give me the vision for what you want me to do. Will he give it to you all at once? No. We can't take it when he gives it to us a little bit at a time. And so often in our life, we'll say, now, Lord, I'm going to get around to that one of these days. That's sort of like fixing the leak at home or something. And 20 years later, it's still dripping. And God says, I want you to depend on me and depend on me totally. Now, you must never tolerate at all an individual that will tell you, well, you don't really need the Bible, the Word of God. I got a good book over here for you to read. I do too. It's called the Holy Bible. Still number one seller. It's amazing that it is, but it still is. To tolerate for this discussion is getting comfortable with things that should be uncomfortable. Catch that? Some people said that, well, if I'm afraid of doing it in the church, how was that put? If no person should be ashamed of what they did at home or in the community, and that they wouldn't be ashamed of doing in the church. And now, I disagree with that. There are a lot of areas in your life that do not need to be displayed in the church, right? There's a lot of private. One of the things that destroy marriages faster than anything is when you hear someone condemn the other continually, putting that woman down or putting that man down. They seem to forget when he was a hunk and she was a fox. In those days. So then the condemnation begins. When that's brought into the church, wow, I must have hit the wrong button on that one, didn't I? Okay. What Jesus says to a tolerant church. That's very nice of you, Randy. What's said about Jesus Christ? His eyes are piercing. His footing is firm. Eyes are piercing. His footing is firm. Revelation 2:18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now, Jesus sees my mind. He sees your mind. He sees my emotions. Jesus sees our heart, folks. It is the real us on the inside. And I got a message coming up I've been working on. It's going to deal with the power of that heart of yours. But he sees it. When he sees us, he's looking to the depth of who we are. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about the depth of your intellect. Intellect is a gift from God. So is the intent of the heart as given to God. That's a gift from God. God will straighten out my heart, and then my heart or my spirit is to straighten out the rest of me. Don't you not battle with yourself continually on different areas of life? And now I'm a Christian. Why do we think that young Christians, or so many of them, are leaving the church? Because they come back and say, I can't do this. What's wrong with me? And they always hear all of this foolishness from people that says, well, I guess you're just not living by the Spirit. You're just not doing what God's called. And they get so discouraged. And I want to shake the people that tell them that. No, that's not true. You and I will grow in Christ. You will never become perfect. And I will never be able to tell an individual when they say, okay, how can I live the Christian life? I don't have the slightest idea. I know that I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, if you want to put a bunch of rules on me, you go ahead. If I promise to keep them, it seems like a whole Hebrew nation did that, didn't they? We will keep them. Yes, Lord, thank you. And it broke every commandment that was ever given. That's why Jesus had to come. You and I cannot keep our promise. We cannot keep rules. Well, I mean, when we're born, we go against our parents. I mean, we're born with that nature of being mean, gruff, and everything else. Stingy. Stealing the cookies from everybody. You know, doing it all. That's who we are. And God then gives us a lifetime, and doesn't matter to the how many years. Because you got to remember, you know, we're not even a twinkle of an eye in our dealings with years. We haven't even begun yet. And God says, I'm going to mold you as I go. So when somebody says, how do you live the Christian life? My statement is, you as an individual must talk to the Lord about all that's going on with you. You have to give your heart to Christ. And you must allow him to direct you. Not a preacher, not a priest, not anybody else. Allow him in your heart. Each of us have become priest of Christ when he went to the cross and you and I said, yes, I believe. So therefore, we are his. Everybody in here is different personality. We think about physical or human things different than somebody else thinks about them. And it's a, well, it's got to be a good thing. And I can't help it. I got to tell this one again. It was like Uncle Pete and Uncle Homer. Thank you. Jesse reminded me I'm on the air, so I got to make sure that. Yeah, I know. And that it is. This is a family thing. Anyway, Uncle Pete, they both love to hit the bottle. And they're there and talking. And Uncle Homer says, you know, Pete, I sure am happy that everybody don't see like I see. And Pete said, really, Homer, why? Well, if everybody saw like I saw, they'd want Jenny, my wife. And I must have been after a couple of more swigs, because Uncle Pete said, yeah, if everybody saw like I see, nobody wants your wife. So everybody has the different opinions and all. I think all of them are dead now. I'm pretty safe on that one. But it's different for each individual. So you follow Christ's path that he has for you. But don't condemn the other person because they're not doing it your way. God didn't call them to do it your way. He called you to do it your way. Okay. Verse 23. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. I see everything you are doing for me. Impressive. That was the Message translation. But I have this against you. Here's your little insight on this. Galatians 1:6-8. I thought it'd be good for you on don't drop your guard. I am amazed. See, this is Paul going back into the churches all the time. And he's saying, what is wrong with you people? You know, this Sunday you're fine. By the next Sunday you're flying somewhere else. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. There is no other gospel, is what he's saying. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So, the first century churches had all sorts of horror going on within the church. Now, we think that it's bad today. It was no worse today. You know, when prison chaplain, they threw Playboy magazines and everything at me. I come to church, they throw pins and White Castles. Okay. As Jesus reminds us, there's not any difference in the churches today and the churches of the first century church. That's why I have the podium, Randy. You on wheels, you can point it, and when they're throwing stuff, and you can catch it. What you need to do and remember is this. When we look back and people say, oh, I wished it would be the church of the old days. No, you don't. We can't even handle it in this day. But it was the focus in those days was get idolatry into the church. Now, is that not the same focus today? Get idolatry into the church. Bring a little bit of the world into the church, and pretty soon, you know, give them a little sip now, and then we can shove it down their throat. So that's why we don't tolerate it at all. In verse 20, the church tolerates Jezebel. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have no idea what Jezebel looked like, but she must have been a looker. Because she was, as Mitch was telling me before we began, he said, did I know what the last thing Jezebel did before she is thrown out of the tower? And he says she put on her eyeshadow. And he's serious. That's what gets me worried about this stuff. She put on her, so, and there's where you get today when people condemn you for wearing makeup and everything, while you Jezebel and all of this. But everybody forgets to go back to the scripture where we are told that the women should adorn themselves for the glory of God. So don't get caught up on all that stuff, please. You walk around as leader. She's your woman, son. As you need to do. Go right ahead.
I was just going to say that I've always heard that a little bit of red paint will make any old barn look better.
I'm sure that it would. I don't know. I'm not sure that that's doctrinally sound. I'm not sure about that, but okay. Who calls herself a prophetess, by her teaching she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed for idols. Now, I dare say it wasn't very hard for her to talk all those men into following her doctrine. I really believe that it probably was not a difficult, although a lot in the church did not have anything to do with her. But think about this. They all went to the same church. And right now, when we go in a church and you, the first question I ask anymore when I go in a church, what church did this split from? You know, we got churches on every corner, and you start asking, say, well, no, we used to be a part of that church, but then this happened and that happened. I don't know whether you've ever noticed this or not, but nobody is ever at fault. Well, it wasn't our fault. It was their fault. Who are they? I don't know. Whoever is over there now like that. Well, I can tell you, it is sin's fault. Here we are on the first century church, and it was messed up with idolaters and all of this in there, but they continued together. Why? I have no idea. I do know there were a lot of different branches of Christianity breaking off in the first century church, going to different routes at that time. The best way I can say it is this. Again, I truly believe in every Christian denomination, there is going to always be a group of true believers, and there's going to always be a group that doesn't believe at all. See, to partially believe Christ is equal to no belief at all. So it takes, I must give my all to Jesus, meaning my heart. He called me to preach. He called me to teach. Therefore, I must stand and I must preach and I must teach until I can no longer stand. Some of you all wish that I would fall down before you so you could get to lunch at 12 o'clock. Now, not in this church anymore. You all are used to it. Verse 21. I have given her time to repent, and she does not want to repent. Now, let me remind you all of something that I've told you before. Some folk would get very angry with me over the years, they still do now, but over the idea of asking me, do I believe in deathbed, as they call deathbed religion? I say I believe in deathbed salvation. Yes, I do. Well, anybody will say they'll accept Christ when they know they're dying. No, they won't. I've dealt with some of the hardest core criminals in the country. They'll curse God on their deathbed. They were given the chance to repent, but they will choose not to repent. They don't want to repent. They do not want to say openly that they believe in Jesus Christ. But God says, or Jesus says, I have given her time to repent, and she does not want to repent. Meaning time and time again, she was under conviction. One thing that I've always pushed with folk, when you're under conviction, and you know that God is taking time out just to touch you over any situation, don't you think it's important enough right then and right there that you say, yes, Lord? Or I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. You don't have to be in a church to do that. When I grew up out in the country, y'all couldn't tell that. But when I grew up out in the country, I mean, I'd watch my granddaddy lead a lot of them to the Lord in an old stump out in the middle of the field. And I could hear my granddaddy, they said, three hollers over when he was praying. It's echoing down through there. And many of them would say, you all be quiet, I want to hear Sammy pray. And he was given the gift of prayer. That was his gift. And man, did those hollers really make it come through. For those of you that are either not in this country or don't, and if you're not in Kentucky, you have no idea what a holler is. But it's a good thing when you're in the holler. All right. Here's your moment of insight on this also. Wait a minute. The Message paraphrase said it this way. She has no intention of giving up her career in the God business. In the God business. Folks, a lot of folk in the God business nowadays. A lot of folks writing a lot of books in the God business nowadays. And I will tell you, read the Bible. Now, I'll admit there are a lot of good books out there that help people in tight binds, but there's no book better than the Word of God. Read the Scripture. And when you say, well, I need to get a commentary on Scripture, that's fine. The best commentary on the Scripture is what?
The Scripture,
itself. Boy listens, don't he? It's the Scripture itself. Just keep reading, and God explains what he just said. Some people are reading that and say, well, I gotta go get somebody smart to do this. So you're smart enough. God will reveal it to you. Here's your moment of insight. Going through a season of life with all going well may be an expression of God's patience and not God's blessings. Let me read it again. Going through a season of life with all going well may be an expression of God's patience and not God's blessings. I must be doing what God has called me because I've been doing it a long time. And so it must be a blessing from him. Well, it could be patience from him, giving you an opportunity to repent. Verse 24. The church was learning the deep things of Satan. That's what was going on. They were learning the deep things of Satan. Go ahead, honey. It could be God calling. You don't want to miss that call. The deep things of Satan. It's an interesting night, isn't it, Randy? Look at it. Verse 24, again. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Four glaring errors of this false prophetess. You ready? Number one, a misuse of scripture. A danger of false teachers is they use enough scripture to be dangerous. Some people learn just enough scripture to be dangerous in that. Number two, she grabbed authority. This woman wasn't given authority. She grabbed authority. She called herself a prophetess. She went and told them. Or her refusal to repent. And then her spiritual elitism. See a lot of elitism today. She said, I have the deeper things. I go deeper into Scripture and into Christ than you're capable of. So I will read the Bible for you and tell you what God thinks you ought to be doing after you mow my yard. Okay, the challenge to faithful Christians, Revelation 2, hold fast until I come. That's Jesus' statement. 25, only hold on to what you have until I come. Holding on while balancing truth and tolerance. Here's your options. Truth without tolerance, that's legalism. Faith without fun is hateful. Tolerance without truth, that's liberalism. Anything goes. Truth with tolerance, that's balance. We saw that when a woman was caught in adultery, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Word becoming flesh is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is referred to as the Word. Do you remember what I taught you on the Battle of Armageddon when I said when Jesus comes down, remember, when for the nation that served God, that nation never truly had to fight the battle. They just had to show up. And then God would win the war. He always did, whether it's with Gideon, with Joshua, or whoever. God won the war. Gideon knew that with 300 men left, he wasn't going to win it. But he trusted in faith God, and God comes out and turns the swords on each other. The enemy did. So when you're listening to the Word, mainly Jesus, when Jesus comes again and the battles again are raging, whether you call Armageddon or whatever, you and I do not lift a finger. We do not lift a weapon. The Word, the sword of His mouth. As a matter of fact, the Bible is called the sword. The Word of God. When Jesus comes, it will be His Word coming from His mouth that destroys the enemy. He once again fights the whole battle for us. It's sad that we don't trust Him more in doing that. And it's easy to sad after years of not trusting in many ways when I should have been. But it's easier when you finally, you know, there it is, that aha moment, I got it. And about time you get it, you're ready to die. You know, I got it. Now if I can just get it out there before I go on to be with the Lord. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And one thing we realized through Jesus, you couldn't keep the law. If we could have kept the law, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. How to balance the two? Is this a major or a minor issue according to the Bible? That's what we're going to balance. Okay, is it major or is it minor? If it's something that's going to cause a lot of hateful stuff, well, let me do it this way. People would come in and say, Larry, I don't know. I need to really confess something to someone that means a lot to me, and I want to confess. Should I confess it? And then I would say, well, let me ask you something. If what you're getting ready to confess, will it glorify God? Will it cause good to come from it, or will it cause evil and harm? Oh, no, this will cause evil and harm. And I would say, keep your mouth shut. Why are you going to do that? Why do people, I've listened to them many times, they accept Christ, and then all of a sudden, they want to start telling on everybody else. But they leave out the real bad parts about themselves. I can tell you that when they do that. Okay. Principle. In major issues, have unity. In minor issues, have diversity. In all issues, have charity or have love. We got to learn to put up with each other. Okay? Eternity's a long time to be with each other. Okay, how to balance the two? Number two, do you have a biblical conviction about the issue? Romans 14, one man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Some people say you shouldn't do that on Sunday. And yet, we've got folk that have to work on Sunday. Well, yeah, they ought to quit their job and just come to church. Are you going to feed them? Are you going to take care of them? Get into that foolishness. One man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike, okay? If I say, then every day's alike to me, meaning every day belongs to my Lord, and I will do every day what I would do on Sunday. Well, ain't not going to leave me much time to do any work either, is it? Well, you're a preacher. You don't have to work. I know, verse 14, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If it bothers you, don't do it. But don't be condemning somebody else because you see that they're doing it. Then you become a judge of another for doing something, and then turn around, they'll be judging you for not doing it. I mean, it's, some of this stuff, just, you know, really mind your own business. Deal with your heart with Christ and quit condemning everything that goes on around you. That's just like saying, if you end up being a Pentecostal, you'll eat them. I'll tell you that right now. I'd ask your Pentecostal wife. She just ate one a while ago. I know it's good. Verse 22. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. If you're going to eat the White Castles and not bother your conscience, for goodness sakes, eat them. All you want. A little peanut butter fudge for dessert. You'll be fine. Here's the principle. If it's doubtful to you, it's dirty. If you're having to ask someone, it's what I learned years ago. If you've got to ask someone whether or not it's a moral issue, it's a moral issue. If you've got to ask somebody if it's okay about what you're getting ready to do, don't do it. Don't do it. You've already got the doubt before you do it. Don't do it. Okay. Number three, how will your decision or your involvement impact an immature believer? You got to watch that. I do not have the right to embarrass an immature believer. I do not have a right to do anything in front of them that I know would bother them. So you do walk on eggs around young Christians. I don't have a right, neither do you have a right to pop their image of what you're supposed to do as a Christian. So you do it. But even if I don't see any wrong in it, then it becomes wrong if you do it and it harms them. So don't do it. Wait till you get you to your own home or whatever, okay? Romans 14, verse 13. Determine not to put a stumbling block in a brother's way. Verse 19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Oh, gosh. People, please, you hear me say every Sunday morning, whatever you do, don't you dare go out there and start gossiping against someone. And why do I say it every Sunday? Because it happens all during the week, and you know it does. I had a man that was a part of the church many, many years ago, and he was upset with me. He was a deacon of the church, very upset with me, because I would close out the way I close this morning and most of the time that I do. He said, because for one thing, I don't know of anybody in this church that gossips. So I make sure that I never miss saying it. I should have added lying to that too. Here's a principle. I have a responsibility to others. Right? Okay, how to balance the two? Number four. Will this reflect my love for the Lord? It's not this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then do what you please. No, that's not what it is. Here's your principle. I must remember whose I am, then consider if an activity or an attitude will demonstrate my love for Jesus Christ. You know, look at yourself in that mirror. You talk to yourself. You don't need to ask someone else, do you think that I'm right in saying this? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't have the slightest idea what you're right in saying. You must work it out in your heart. And you talk to the Lord about it. We got too many people now trying to dictate to people what they will and won't do. Folks, you are individually, as born-again believers, a priest of God. So talk to him like that. Number five, what would my spiritual role model do? Here's your principle. Spend time with mature believers. Now, most of us know in this church, and the majority of our folk are mature believers in this church, and you can be a little more joking in certain areas with mature Christians than you are with immature Christians. Meaning when you joke about, you know, I should have baptized you and held you down about 5 minutes. That would have worked. And I've said that to a few folks. But then I realize I have to watch who's around, you know, how they're picking up on that. Randy was 10 minutes when I held him down. Okay. Here's the incredible reward, verse 28. I will give to the ones who hold fast the morning star. Meaning you and I have Jesus. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. He said, I will give myself to you.